Hello, folks. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have reports and tips for you from Jarrett McCarthy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then we have a lengthy talk with our local Wisconsin DNR fisheries biologist, Max Walter, about what they found during their spring surveys this year. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Hayward Power Sports has new 2023 Can-Am off-road vehicles in stock and ready for anything you can dish out. For a limited time, take advantage of promotional financing on select Can-Am side-by-sides with 1.99% APR for 36 months or 3.99% for 60 months. The Can-Am Defender is the perfect utility side-by-side that's built extra tough to take you way beyond the daily grind and is the most capable side-by-side for on the worksite, hunting trips, and anywhere you need it to get the job done. Or, are you ready for some sporty fun? Explore, ride, and roar off-road in the purpose-built-for-anything high-performance Can-Am Maverick. And yes, Defender and Maverick both qualify for the special promotional financing. Or, get the ATV that can go virtually anywhere and do it all for less with the all-new Can-Am Outlander 500 and 700 ATVs. Get work done, tackle the trails, or drag out a trophy whitetail this fall. Get your Can-Am today at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Offer subject to credit approval. See dealer for details.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu. And while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward. Big fish stories come to life at the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. The world's largest shrine to freshwater anglers boasts a 4.5-story tall walk-through muskie that's a half a city block long. It's like taking a peek into Granddad's old tackle box with thousands of mounted fish, antique outboard motors, and historical sport fishing artifacts. Stop in and take a chance on our 50-50 cash raffle. You could walk away with a pile of cash. See the big ones that didn't get away at the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, Highway 27 and B in Hayward. Open daily, including Sundays, through October 31st at 9:30 a.m. We're recording this week's show down Hayward Bait and Bottle, and Jarrett McCarthy in here. And Jarrett, you know, we're in summer patterns. I mean, the fish are changing, and a lot of bugs hatching out there.
Yeah, a lot of bugs hatching. We're finally seeing a whole bunch of dragonflies out there.
Good.
Yeah, really good. Yeah, doesn't mean the mosquitoes are going away, but yeah, we are definitely into a summer pattern here.
In walleye fishing, that's just actually remains pretty good, and it's, what I'm hearing is mostly shallow yet.
Yeah, and that's what we're hearing, too. We're hearing a lot of guys that are still fishing weed edges. The leech bites really getting going with slip bobbers or what have you. Some guys are still throwing cranks out there, but walleye fishing remains solid.
You know, and pretty soon it'll be a trolling bite coming up, too, with a lot of bug hatch. It's going to start to taper down a little bit, I think.
Yeah, and we've already seen some guys in here stocking up on trolling some stuff, and you know, I think I might even head out and do a little bit of trolling myself tomorrow, but yeah, it's right around the corner.
And pan fishing. Crappies are done. Bluegills are probably done spawning.
Yeah, so I was out on Friday, and I still have bluegills on bed up by me in the Drummond area, but I'm sure that they will be done very quickly. So, you know, a lot of those crappies are moving out over the weed flats right now, and those bluegills will move out to that those same weed flats and over structure here really quick.
You know, and the thicker the weeds, the better the weeds, it seems like.
Yeah, yep. It's a really good spot for those fish to hide. And, you know, if you can pitch pockets in those weeds for those fish or skirt along the edges, you'll find them out there.
You know, a lot of people, Eurasian milfoil is an undesirable weed. I mean, it's gotten in on a lot of different lakes, but the fish like it. And you get around a big patch of milfoil, you're going to have not just panfish, but a lot of other fish usually hiding underneath that because it's an umbrella-type weed. It's over the top of them.
Big canopy weed, yeah. We've heard a couple of anglers that have been in here on some of the clear bodies of the lake that those weeds have gotten into around here doing really well on the walleyes lately.
You know, how the heck do you fish that stuff when it's that thick, though? I mean, you know, one way I've been seeing, and I've done a little bit, is that VMC Tokyo rig. That thing actually allows you to punch right through that stuff and get a plastic down on the bottom.
Tokyo rig, if you've got a you know, a weedless jig or a, you know, a heavier drop shot that you can punch through that canopy with, you know, and fish effectively, you know, those are a couple good options.
You know, and it's just for a lot of different species of fish, too. I mean, I've caught bass down there, northern pike, everything underneath that, that bunch of weeds on top.
Yeah, there's a little bit of everything down there.
You bet. And as far as pike and musky fishing, what are you hearing and seeing there?
From what we're hearing, there's not too many guys that are targeting them yet, but the guys that are, they are catching a few. You know, we had Steve Jensen here the other day, one of the local musky guys, and he said that they were doing, you know, they're doing okay on some smaller bucktails around here, and we've been seeing some pictures and been getting some nice fish.
How about bass fishing, Jarrett? That's a summer sport up here a lot of people get into, and we've got a lot of good bass fishing around here.
We really do. We've got a ton of good bass fishing, whether it be largemouth or smallmouth. You know, bass are, you know, there are some bass that are still on beds out there. Some of the smallies are still on beds, but most of everything is coming off. They're going to sit on that first weed flat, you know, 5 to 10 feet deep. They're going to roam. Some guys are out there, they're getting them on plastic worms. Some guys on topwaters, you know, as soon as we see that those dragonflies, that topwater bite will start. But yeah, a lot of good fishing out there for smallies and largemouth. And when they're just off the spawn, post-spawn, they like to school up. So, you know, you find one, usually you find a handful of them. So you can get into a school pretty quickly, and it can be a lot of fun.
The smallies tend to move a little bit deeper, quicker than the largemouth. But still, I mean, you can be in 20 feet of water and catch them on popars on top of the water because they'll come up a long ways.
They will, yeah, and those small are really, really curious fish. So, you know, baits that are percentage of weight away from them, they'll sense them, they'll feel them, and they'll come check it out.
You know, you get into a mess of bass like smallmouth, the more of them, the merrier, because then they start getting competing for with each other for who gets there first.
Yeah, and it'll be fun because you'll have one hooked up and you'll have two or three others join them, you know, trying to come up to the boat. And if you've got other people on the boat, you know, make sure that you're ready, because when you see those other fish follow the hooked fish up, you know, it's game on.
And, you know, we're talking, they move deeper, I mentioned, but if you're dealing with flowages and reservoirs and rivers, that's a whole different fish almost. It seems like they stay a lot shallower around shoreline. You can almost fish them like largemouth in some of these lakes like the Chippewa Flowage.
Yeah, it just depends on what kind of structure they have available nearby, whether it's wood or rock or weed. You know, they're going to relate to the nicest structure that they like out there and wherever the food is, too.
And when we're talking about topwater for bass, largemouth, the frog, and everybody thinks about the frogs, but there's other baits, too.
Yeah, you know, obviously there's the frog. As far as topwater goes, you know, we've got the whopper plopper, your skitter pops, everything like that, and then once you start transferring over to some of your plastic baits, you know, you've got wacky worms, you can run drop shots at some point this year. Just a lot of different options out there to go target bass.
I know, and you guys got most of it here. You carry a huge selection of bass plastics and crankbaits and stuff here.
Absolutely. We've got the product and we've got the know-how to use it, so if you've got questions, feel free to stop on by and ask.
You know, and as far as other equipment, you got boat stuff in here and got some hummingbird stuff and Minnekota stuff too?
Yep, absolutely. We've got boating gear. We've got your trolling motors. If we don't have it, we'd be happy to order it for you. We've got a handful of people that are already starting to come in, drop off bows and get ready for the fall season here. So, you know, John does a great job of getting everybody tuned up for the bow season. So we got a little bit of everything here for
and,
you.
And that's a good point there because, you know, it'll be here before you know it. And why wait until last minute and then you find out you can't get what you want?
Yeah, absolutely. Get ahead of the game because, you know, as soon as we hit July and August and everybody else feels like bringing in their bow, it turns into a long line of waiting to get your bow back.
I know you're going to be out there fishing as much as you can when you get out of here, but I know you do a lot of pan fishing. A lot of folks out there will be pan fishing. A lot of them will be bass fishing. And we got the musky crowd. But when it comes to pan fish, I think that's the one that's the most popular up here with families.
It is. You know, it's you know, whether it be crappies, perch, or bluegill, they're easier fish to get on. They're a little bit easier to target and pattern out here on the lakes. They make for some great table fare. And it's fun to have, you know, bobbers going under and bites all day, you know, out on the boat. So, yeah, I'm definitely a big proponent of going out and catching big crappies and bluegills, but also making sure that you let those big ones go.
Yeah, especially fun for the kids. Anyway, Jared, I want to thank you for taking the time here with our listeners.
Yep, thanks for having me again, John.
Well, folks, you know we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we'll be talking to our local DNR fisheries biologist, Max Walter. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop for the Hayward area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and much more.
Whether you fish for bass, walleyes, panfish, or muskies, at Hayward Bait and Bottle, you'll find everything you'll need for a successful season. Check out their huge selection of musky baits, and again this year, they've expanded their selection of soft plastic bass and walleye baits. In the bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer and liquor. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Get on the water and save on a Lund boat from Hayward Power Sports. Our brand new 2023 Lunds are rigged and ready with Mercury outboards. Save $2,000 on a Lund Impact XS, one of our top-selling aluminum boats for both fishing and recreation. Or save $1,500 on a Lund Adventure, popular with first-time owners for fishing and family fun that will keep everyone smiling. Lunds feature boating's best warranty, and no boat holds its value better. Get your Lund at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on lodging and vacationing here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, one of the people we get on here from time to time is our local DNR fisheries biologist, Max Walter. Max has been out there in the field doing a lot of studies and a lot of surveys in the spring here. Had a chance to talk to him the other day about some of the things they found.
Max, I know you've been out there all spring, kind of doing some surveys and stuff. Any interesting stuff you can talk to us about and tell us about?
Oh, sure, plenty. Yeah, it was kind of a breakneck spring. I'm sure everybody experienced that in different ways. We spent our first day on the water on April 18th on Muskie Bay of LCO, which opened up, you know, a little earlier than most other stuff in the area. And we finished last night, June 6th. Pretty compressed spring. We had all the different species in our lakes that spawned in the spring, spawning within that span of time of about 6 weeks. Water temperatures obviously warmed up really fast, and that made us alter our plans a little bit. Sometimes we want to leave the nets in a lake for 2 or 3 or 4 days and be there for a while. And that wasn't an option. This year we had to kind of be places for 1 or 2 days and then off to the next one because water temperatures were just climbing so quickly. I think we had a lot of fish basically spawning at the same time that wouldn't be. I mean, we had muskies and bass spawning at the same time. We had, you know, bluegill getting started before muskies were done. It was really a lot. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, kind of how that all shakes out over the long term, if it's a good year for some of these fish for spawning success or if that's going to create some challenges.
You think that maybe we had some fish that didn't successfully spawn in some areas, like crappies, for instance?
Sure, yeah, and crappies are notorious for that. If they don't like the conditions they're experiencing, they'll kind of bug out and just say, yeah, not this year, maybe next year, and reabsorb some of the energy if they're able to. I guess it's very possible that could have happened. Usually the thing that turns them off is a big cold spell, you know, after they've kind of gotten started, and then it gets cold, and then they just say, yeah, it's not happening. We really have that this year, at least during the time when the crappies were spawning, so maybe they just powered through, but, you know, they're spawning. It's very inconsistent, especially when you compare it to some of their cousins, the bass and the bluegill. They're going to spawn pretty much every year. They're going to have a year class pretty much every year. Crappies, you know, and people see this probably when they're fishing. There's big year classes that come through and you're catching fish the same size over and over and over again. You can kind of see a year class move up. And that's because crappies, you know, might get a big successful spawn, a big year class once every 5, 6, or 7 years.
Well, you know, as far as the walleyes out there, any interesting information on the walleye populations and stuff?
Yeah, you know, we really did just 2 surveys this spring that were heavily targeting walleye, and those were on Teal and Lost Land Lakes. And obviously, those are kind of related. We were doing them at the same time, working from one lake into the next. I was fairly impressed with what we saw in both of those populations. I don't have the final numbers, but I'm expecting that Teal is going to come out a little bit higher density, but Lost Land's going to have that better size. A lot of fish in Lost Land that were in the 18 to 24 inch range. Big females, but also some males making up to that size. Teal, you know, they're more into the low to mid teens, although we did see some over 20 there as well. And those are both stocked fisheries. So again, I don't have the final numbers, but they look like they're fairly successful stocked fisheries where if they put the fish out there, they're going to survive at an okay rate, they're going to grow, and they're going to be available to anglers. So I spent a lot of time on those two lakes looking at walleye.
You think that maybe since we've implemented a lot of the different regulations and the slot limits is what's making a major impact on the walleyes?
I do think you start to see that in some places. Obviously, the 15-inch minimum that's in place on a lot of our lakes protects those young juvenile fish. That's got a few important purposes. One is to protect them until they're mature so they can spawn a few times before they're available to harvest. The other is just to limit the amount of overall harvest, the total numbers of walleye leaving the lake so we can have a good abundance. But then you got that 20 to 24 inch protected slot, and there's a couple places that we were at this spring where it's like, boy, there's a lot of fish in that size range, and that may be because they're being protected. And I think that, you know, has a couple benefits. One is it obviously protects those larger fish, which are going to be females, and we have them out there, they're available to spawn, but it also keeps the fish in the lake a little longer, so instead of getting harvested at 22 inches, it maybe gets caught a time or two and gets released, and people get a nice photo without taking the fish home, and then you know, gets to spawn more, and maybe it ends up getting taken home later as a larger fish, maybe not, but that upper slot seems to be pretty popular and does seem to be doing some things.
You know, I've noticed over the years that in a lot of situations, it seems like wherever you have a legal size that you can harvest, there seems to be an abundance of fish stacked up just below that legal size. Is that strictly a harvest thing that's going on there?
Yeah, it's pretty common. There's also some growth restrictions too, you know, especially as you get more fish into a population, that density goes up. The growth of those males starts slowing down, you know, even around 15 inches. And so they're going to spend a couple of years below the size limit. Some people might say they're stacking up there. We haven't seen a lot of instances where the growth is so poor that they just can't get over 15, but it might take a little bit longer. From our standpoint, that's okay. That's giving them a little more time to spawn. Again, it's kind of building up that overall abundance of fish so people are actually having decent catch rate before, you know, eventually they're going to cross 15 inches and be available to harvest. But it is common to see, you know, less fish in that harvest slot and they start getting cropped off shortly after they hit that legal size. That's kind of how it's all designed to function.
It's not all about, you know, a lot of guys say we just need to drop that size limit so we can harvest those fish. But if you do that, you'll probably just move down to one notch what you're normally seeing undersize.
Exactly, yeah. And then what you're going to have is the whole size structure is going to shift down a little bit, and you're going to have a lot more harvest of juvenile fish that have never had a chance to spawn, especially juvenile females. A lot of 14-inch females that aren't quite ready to spawn yet. Certainly 13-inch females are typically not ready to spawn yet, so by giving them a little bit more protection, you know, they get a little bit better chance to be a part of the spawning picture.
How about other fish? Let's talk a little bit about northern pike. We seem to have an abundance of them things everywhere, no matter what we do.
Right, and I think, you know, this has been an area of emphasis. I've talked about it on your show many times, and we did do some surveys specifically for pike this spring. The first one was on LCO in Muskie Bay. We were looking to see, you know, we've done that removal out there. It's been about 6 years. What does the population look like today? And what we've seen is that abundance has started to come back up, which we expected. They're still better sized than before, but it's kind of giving us a sense that we may have to do some sort of a removal effort periodically to keep that size structure of pike up and to keep muskies doing well in the lake, and they are doing fairly well. We've seen higher and higher catch rates in our surveys for muskies, and anglers seem to be doing better, so I like everything that's going on there, but, you know, it's going to require some, it wasn't a one and done. It's going to require us to go in periodically and continue to do some things with that pike population.
Think we could bring that back to where it once was as far as muskies?
Well, that's a big question. I mean, it's never going to be a lake where muskies are the only stocked species because we'll never get rid of pike. So we're kind of managing for a new normal here, which is there's going to be some pike, but we want them to be big. And then, you know, we're going to try to get enough muskies out there that people are catching them at a good rate, but not too many that it's hurting their own growth or, you know, that there isn't enough habitat available so that we can also get that really good size that Lacouture has the potential to produce. So I think we're on a good path right now. We've been able to get more muskies out there. When we estimated how many were out there total in the population a couple of years ago, it was over 400. Which is much higher than what it had been in the past. We could go up a little bit higher from that, but we don't need to go too much higher. The growth is solid. You know, we know that it can produce some really big top-end fish. So, you know, will it ever get back to what it looked like in the 40s or, you know, 30s or 20s before pike were in there? No, that's just not realistic. And so many other things have changed in the lake, too. But I think we can have a really high-quality population for muskies and pike, too. I mean, boy, you can catch some really quality pike out there as well.
Well, you know, in my 44 years up here in the Hayward area, too, I can mention a couple things that I've noticed. A couple of different lakes. You take Teal and Lost Land, for instance, and you take Couderay. Couderay, I can think we're going back in the 80s. I used to be real common to catch 30 to 36-inch pike out there if you fish deeper water and you look for those big pike, but you didn't catch as many of those little hammer handles. And when the hammer handles started to come in there and them tiny pike, the bigger fish didn't seem to be there. And in looking at Teal and Lost Land, when you had all the hammer handles and when they got thinned out by probably the muskies, now it's a little bit better quality pike, but seems to be less of them. Is that something you just see?
Yeah, that's the formula, 100%. That's why we push pike harvest so much, is if anglers can help to be a part of that phenomenon that you just described, less pike, but make them bigger, it can be really beneficial to fisheries. You can't produce a lot of 30 to 36-inch pike when you have so much biomass tied up in 17, 18, 19, 20-inch pike, which is where we got to on the Couderay before we did that removal. And after the removal, we did start seeing a lot more pike, certainly in the high 20s, a few more in the 30s, and so that's kind of where we want to stay, is lower density, good growth, good size.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that bring this show to you every week. When we come back, we'll have the second part of that talk we had with our local DNR fisheries biologist, Max Walter. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hey folks, come on over to Hayward Ace Hardware and check out the area's largest selection of firearms, ammo, and accessories. We carry top brands like Browning and Sig Sauer, and we have a great selection of the newest and hard-to-find models. We've got a large selection of ammo with more coming in daily. If you need a scope, we carry great brands like Leupold, Hawk, and EOTech, and we'll even mount it and boresight it for you too. We even sell suppressors and silencers. And don't forget to check out our Guns of the Week. Huge discounts on a variety of pistols, rifles, and shotguns that change every week. So stop on in to Hayward Ace Hardware, your firearm superstore. Hayward Ace Hardware, Highway 63 North in Hayward, or give us a call at 715-634-8700. Hey folks, the Log Cabin Store in Northwoods Beach on Highway K between the Big Lakes has groceries, ice, beer, liquor, and pop, and now has all new tackle and bait supplies. All the current antiques and household items are now on sale and all must go to make room for the sport shop. That's at the Log Cabin Store in Northwoods Beach between the Big Lakes.
Hayward Animal Hospital is a full-service medical and surgical hospital featuring on-site laboratory, digital and dental x-ray, in-house pharmacy, and online store. Dr. Ostrander has 40 years of experience dealing with illnesses, injuries, surgery, and dentistry. Hayward Animal Hospital offers urgent care appointments and emergency surgery daily. Please call early in the day for these appointments. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, you know, we're going to jump right back into the second part of that talk we had with our local DNR fisheries biologist, Max Walter.
Oh, and what else did you find out there this spring as far as anything else on fisheries?
Oh, gosh, yeah. We went over to Nelson Lake. Our survey there kind of targeted pike, and we found confirmation of something anglers have been telling us for a few years, which is that, boy, there's a lot more pike out there than there used to be. That 32-inch size limit is protecting a lot of smaller pike, and it looks different than the fishery did 10 or 20 years ago. So that's one we're going to be taking a look at and working with the Nelson Lake Association and other anglers on, what do we want to do here? We may need to come up with a new direction for pike. Tremendous numbers of crappies in Nelson with generally poor size. That's been an issue for a while, but that was something we saw on other lakes. You know, we did see some really nice crappies. We saw nice crappies on Round Lake. Actually saw some decent panfish on the Tiger Cat Flowage, which was kind of interesting. An increase in panfish quality for bluegill, perch, and crappies compared to what we've seen in the past. That was good.
I've noticed on that Tiger Cat that the bluegills seem to have gotten bigger for some reason.
Yeah, I would agree. Bluegills seem to be better. We actually get some really nice perch out there. And, crappies are fair, too. They're okay. So that's kind of a nice development on Tiger Cat. And we've also seen the size of bass showing some modest improvements, too. And that's a featured species out there. I mean, that's a great place to go and fish for largemouth. So.
Didn't find very many muskies, though, out there, did you?
We found some. So the update on muskie and pike out there is, we did a survey in 2019. And the 2023 survey didn't look very different, which I wouldn't say it looks better than 2019, but it doesn't look worse. And so that's actually, a positive thing here. That situation with pike abundance and muskie abundance hasn't changed too much. The pike abundance seems to have leveled off a little bit. And I give some credit to the Tiger Cat Lake Association folks who've implemented a pretty good program to get anglers harvesting pike. The muskies are kind of holding their own, and now we're bringing some help into the picture by stocking, which we did last fall. And so we did see some stocked fingerlings out there. And so we hope that we can start getting some new muskies into that system, which is badly needed because the muskies we were catching, the adult muskies, were getting older. They're larger, which is cool, but, they're getting older and they're going to be aging out of the population in the next 5 to 10 years. And so, we need to make sure we kind of have that next generation of muskies coming up, which we haven't had naturally.
That probably is a direct relation to those pike, too. And one thing noticed in many different bodies of waters I fish, you can have a lake that has good pike populations, a good muskie population, but you got to have a lot of water. It's got to be a pretty big lake.
It's got to be big, and the other thing that helps muskies is if the water is dark. If you think about a moose lake where muskies are still the dominant species, even though pike have had access to that water. Last night we were on Lower Clam, another pretty dark water lake, and it's got pike now, and we did catch some, but we're also still catching naturally produced muskies of all sizes. So that population's still kind of humming along. It may still be lower density than what Lower Clam had been historically, but the muskies are able to do something and kind of keep going. So Tiger Cat's very different, right? It's not a tremendous amount of water, especially volume-wise, because it's so shallow. And it's also very, very clear. And so that kind of tips that relationship towards favoring the pike in many ways. And that's where we kind of need these human interventions of harvesting pike, which the anglers out there are doing a good job of and should keep up, and also stocking some muskies to try to help out.
Well, pike and muskies might be in the same family, but I don't believe pike have learned to feed by sound yet, and muskies can pretty much zero in on anything by listening for it, I think.
Well, right, and that's a big part of, muskies evolved in this area where we have very dark water. I mean, look at everything at the headwaters of the Chippewa. That's water where muskies have survived for millennia and have adapted to, like you said, be able to feed in conditions where you basically can't see anything. And that's why in some of those darker water systems, they're still doing well and pike are struggling to make a go of it there, which is just fine. We have plenty of pike lakes. We want to keep some lakes that are kind of look as much as possible as what they were historically with muskies.
A lot of good information there, Max. You got anything else you want to add from what you've been finding?
I'm sure there's plenty of other stuff to discuss, but we're kind of starting to shift our eyes towards summer. It'll be a busy summer. We're doing, different outreach events and kids stuff. We'll be at Muskie Fest. Then we'll be moving into trout stuff, and we have some really cool habitat projects that I'm sure we'll talk about as we're going along doing future shows.
Okay, well, Max, thanks a lot for taking the time and sharing that great information with us.
Yeah, and good luck to everybody out there fishing.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at WNORadio.com. And from there, you can link to our podcast site, and the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.